Moving on from Chelsea, well, how do we feel about Arsenal? Before we go into Arsenal's season, actually, 20 years, Arsene Wenger finally retired from Arsenal.
Yeah.
What do we think? What are your favorite Wenger moments?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the end, you have to give him all the kudos he can have. I mean, he's managed Arsenal for seems like an age. He's done good things with them. I mean, the last few years have been, like the last decade really, have been a bit subpar, maybe? I don't know. It's hard to give them a ranking because they haven't been that bad. It's just been that everybody else has got better and they sort of didn't. It's just
Yeah,
stayed where
I
they
mean,
were early 2000s. Like, they got to a peak and they've sort of plateaued, sort of, or not improved at the same rate as everybody else has improved. And so it
that's
makes it.
interesting you mentioned that because in Arsene Wenger's biography, Alex Ferguson wrote his foreword, and he explained one of the reasons why he didn't want to retire in 2001. When you think about that, he would have retired at 12 years before he had ended up retiring, is that he felt he had unfinished business with Arsene Wenger. Like he wanted to keep competing against him. And then after him, Mourinho came in, and then he just had the second lease of life on it. Do you think Arsene Wenger just somehow after Mourinho, because it's really the post-Mourinho era where you can see where the troughs start coming in his managerial career.
And
Spent a
even,
long time without a trophy, until what, 2013, I believe.
Even a little
And
bit post Fergie, really. I mean, I guess, once Mourinho sort of left and was left Chelsea, and then Fergie sort of left United, and then Wenger really was the last of that sort of
I
man,
mean,
let's say.
there's a huge difference between the way Alex Ferguson managed Man United in the late 2000s versus how Arsene Wenger did it. I think going into the early 2000s, Arsene Wenger and Alex Ferguson had a very similar outlook to how they should manage teams. They basically went, we know what good players are. We know what positions these players should be playing in. We'll make them train things in the week and we'll tell them what we think they should do. But at the end of the day, in the match, we're like, yep, you're doing what you want. You're good players. And let them play. And that was their philosophy. And I feel like at some point after the 2006 World Cup, Alex Ferguson just changed that where he went, no, we have to do certain things correctly. And he became a bit more structured in his approach and a bit more tactically astute. I feel like he just changed his whole lineups and games and things. Like one of the downsides I feel about the current era is like we don't get to see Guardiola go up against Ferguson in games regularly. That would have been cool to watch. But heck, Guardiola's beaten him twice in two different Champions Leagues, so I don't think he's too worried. But that being said, that Arsene Wenger, he didn't evolve in that. At least that's how I take it. My take on it. Not being an Arsenal fan, like that's what it looked like from the outside in.
No, I think I agree with that. It's that sort of, I suppose lack of evolution, like lack of change. I don't know the best way of describing it, because he still sort
There's
of
a
watched it,
culture.
and you didn't feel like he was a
I
bad
think.
manager still, but there was just something. Everybody else had changed. The game had changed, and he hadn't. Basically, I think that's, and Arsenal hasn't.
Oh, he hadn't changed enough. I think there's certain things, like his tactics were still okay, and he still played with the right style. I feel like that man management stuff, which was really great when he first came into Arsenal, that stuff everybody was already now doing, like especially with fitness and making sure people were ready for games and fully committed. I think, though, at the end of the day, he got too close to the club. Like, Alex Ferguson has no, would happily send David Beckham to Real Madrid after effectively he was like his son. And, like, it was Fergie's way or the highway, right? And that's how he ran the team. And when Wayne Rooney complained about not getting good players in the club, he bought Robin van Persie to compete with him. Striker. Like, that's the sort of thing that Alex Ferguson did. Sir Alex did. Whereas Arsene Wenger would just be like, no, you gotta give the young players a chance. And there's like a long string of really good young players at Arsenal who went on to other clubs and did much better,
mm-hmm.
and are doing much better. And there are a whole bunch of young players at Arsenal who just didn't do well enough, and they're still there. I mean, they're good players, they're just not motivated.
Yeah.
Arsenal really need to get a manager who is able to talk to these guys and drum them up, show them that they're good players, and make them play in a style that suits Arsenal. Unfortunately, that manager is managing Liverpool at the moment, so I don't know who they're going to pick.
But overall,
I think Arsenal, given they weren't champions and they're Arsenal and they didn't even make the top four last season, only one place behind, they came as far as they could in the UEFA, in the Europa League, and we knew there were far better teams who were going to beat them there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be charitable to Arsenal, B+.
B+, yeah, I think that's probably okay. I might give them a B, slightly lower, just... Once again, it sort of was a...
I guess because they have lost a position, right?
They lost a position. They weren't bad, but they didn't really excite either at any point. So I sort of felt B is good. They were solid.
Following on, a team that definitely overachieved, Burnley, seventh place, qualifying for Europe.
Yeah.
All right. Our second A+?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, really. At least
given
an A.
The resources, the resources at his disposal, Sam Dyche has once again overachieved with what he's got, proven he's a great manager. At the end of the season, only 12 losses, one less than Arsenal. A lot of draws, but those were against the top sides. Where they got away with points and they beat the teams they needed to beat. I mean, the negative goal difference, we kind of expect that from Burnley. But still, look, they've only conceded 39 goals all season. The only teams better than them are United and City. United, City, Spurs and Liverpool, like those top teams.
Chelsea as well.
Everyone
38 goals. Burnley won. It's on par with the top teams.
It is on par with those top teams. And if they had a good striker, Chris Wood did well for them. So that's always a plus in my book. So
I know. Chris Wood was amazing for them.
A plus. You got to give kudos to a team that has a Kiwi in their lineup who's actually playing well for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a striker, for once, it's not like a defensive defender or a defensive midfielder. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. And say he did well, Chris Wood, leading the line for Burnley.
Yeah, yeah. Injuries aside, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, those things happen. He got 10 goals, I think it was. Just not too bad.
Yep.
Out of 24 matches that he played,
it's interesting for Burnley. They have a bit of money. They can buy the right players. The big thing is they are in the Europa League next season. Is that going to hurt them or help them?
Well, yeah, I suppose it helps in that it gives makes Burnley a bit more attractive for players to come to. So they might be able to attract some decent, some good players in the off season. So they can say, look, some European competition at least, you know. But then it's going to, depending on how well they strengthen the squad. Because, it's then going to be a
feel like Sam Dyche might get a few good players on loan from other clubs who are not quite breaking into the teams and be like, hey, look, we've got a long season. We potentially want to do well in Europa, so lend us your boys. We'll give them games.
Yeah, and European games even. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, I am intrigued to see how well Burnley will do next season. I hope they do well, this season, great achievement.
Yeah, no, great achievement.
Totally on, 8th place, Everton. A side we thought at the beginning of the season might actually break into that top four or be in the running for it. Had a terrible, terrible start, but Sam Allardyce, as always, has managed to put everything together and get them on the right side of the table.
Mm-hmm.
8th place is what you expect from Everton, I think, even with their problems.
I think in the end, our prediction was 7th for them. So, I mean, it's only one less than what our prediction was. So that's It's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, given how well Aldrice did in bringing them back from what position they were in.
Oh, yeah, they were looking like relegation Everton, fodder.
Yeah, they look like relegation fodder. So given all that, I'm tempted to give them an A-.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's fair.
That is fair. I was thinking more a B+. I mean, they've got to have some negatives for the start. The start was woeful. And true, whilst the season is, you know, season 38 games long, still, you've got to, if you want to be in contention for something, you've got to start well, at least. You can't give yourself that bigger disadvantage to begin with.
True.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And
you think at least they should have gotten a Europa, so you're giving them a B+.
Yeah, I feel like they slightly underachieved, not by lots. So yeah, so I'm thinking maybe a B+. I mean, I don't really think they had a overachieving season or a great season. Mm-hmm. I think they had a, once again, sort of like Arsenal, they had a solid season, slightly better than Arsenal's season because we didn't really expect them to be in the top four,
yep.
You know, to maybe be pushing the top four for most of the season and then sort of fading by the
end. Really, they hadn't.
But they didn't even really get to that point. So, that's what I mean. Their start, but that was their start. So if they hadn't had that poor start, then, you know, it would have worked out for them in the way we sort of thought of it.
Well, and it also depends whether they keep Sam Aldrice about next season.
Yeah.
But all said and done, I don't think Everton fans are too worried. They didn't get relegated. That's always a relief.
Yeah.
And the relegation battle was tight this season. We will get to that pretty soon. Following on from Everton is Leicester City. Pretty good season overall. I mean, there's not much to say here. They won the games they won. Good players still at the club. I mean, they no longer look like the team that won the Premiership two seasons ago, but that team's well and truly gone. I feel a bit hard done by for Riyad Mahrez because he did sign a new contract by telling Leicester, look, I want to make sure you guys get money for me when I go on to a big club, but you have to promise to sell me to a big club after a year, and they didn't let him go to Man City. Not that they needed Mahrez, but that would have been a nice gesture. That said, the City, I don't know, solid B, I think. Top 10, that's kind of what they want, right?
Yeah.
If they hadn't won the Premiership two seasons ago, we would always be like, yeah, top 10 City, good performance.
Yeah, no, once again, it's another one where I feel like they slightly underperformed, but a lot of that is the fact that, two seasons ago they were ridiculous. But a part of that is just feeling like they haven't really, even last season they didn't, they were reasonable last season. They did well in the Premiership, they did well in Europe. And this season I felt they haven't really kicked on from that. Like, last season was, you're always going to have that sort of second year syndrome going on, but it's sort of the third year is where you've got to show that, normally it's players, first year, breakout year, everybody's like, oh my god, they're amazing, and then second year people have worked out how to play against them, so that's the hard year. But then third year is where you've got to show that, because you've had the breakout year, everybody's gone, wow, and then you've sort of had to overcome people actually going, yeah, okay, we know what to do, we'll do this, we'll do that, we can play.
I think that applies more to your top six clubs. They have the resources to buy players and change philosophies and all this other stuff. And it's not just that Leicester's have lost good players. They have lost, especially Kante.
I think
we can now not overstate how important it was, but also losing a lot of people in their scouting.
Yeah, I mean, they're still doing well.
Those sort of things are very difficult to replace. So I think, given all that and stuff happening off the field for them, I'm happy with giving them a B. You're thinking B-?
Yeah, I'm thinking B-. As I say, I feel they should do slightly better than they have, and I'm aware that I'm perhaps being a bit harsh on them, and that, I'm expecting more than perhaps is realistic, but hey. I think they can do it. I have faith.
Following on to the Geordies, Newcastle. Given the amount of crap they have to go through off the field with their ownership troubles, any club who aren't named the New Zealand Warriors, that has ownership trouble, seems to be in terrible form on the field. And there are just overall other issues with the structure. But they've got a very good manager in Rafa Benitez, who I think has done a credible job with the resources given to him, because he really has to sell players to get players.
Yeah.
Whereas I think even someone like some people like Leicester have money that they can spend on players without having to sell first. And they've got some very credible wins this season against teams like Chelsea, Manchester United. So they've overall had a very good, I think overall, given their resources, it's pretty good. If I gave Leicester a B, I would be remiss if I gave Newcastle United anything less than a B minus. To stay consistent, I think B minus from my other rating.
I actually think Newcastle's done reasonably, I mean, they've done reasonably well this year. I mean, they were a promoted team. I know it's Newcastle, and it sort of was a bit of a yo-yo thing happening, where they had a poor season, you know, two seasons ago, more than anything.
Yeah.
And hadn't really, they're still Newcastle United, you know.
Yeah.
But they've come back up, and, I mean, they've resumed their Newcastle United ways, really, I think, a little bit. But they seem to have done it a little differently. It seemed, I know, I felt a bit more positive about their season than I had, say, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, where they would finish 10th after, you know, doing enough and then sort of coasting, you know, getting the points earlier than sort of coasting the season. I sort of felt this season they didn't really, it was slightly different. So I'm thinking perhaps, yeah, B, maybe even a B plus. I feel, you know, they are a promoted team. I know they are Newcastle at the same time, but sort of feels like a promoted team.
They're still a promoted team.
Yeah.
They easily won the championship last season, but that's never a guarantee that you're going to do well in the Premiership, even for a team like Newcastle.
Yeah.
And given they get relegated with alarming regularity these days, I think we have to, good marks for them. Just because of their off-field issues, we know that contributes to a lot of their problems. Next team up, Crystal Palace. Wow, how many times this season are we going to see a great escape from Crystal Palace?
The new Sunderland.
And like they don't only do a great escape, and then they do really well and almost get a top 10 finish from looking like they're definitely being relegated. Given their issues off the field, once again, managers just not finding the way to get them on right. I think I have to give Roy Hodgson an A+ for Crystal Palace to 11th place and equal points with people like Newcastle. It's only 2 goals in goal difference separates their positions.
Yeah.
And they've scored more goals as well. And they also always look like they're in a fight with Hodgson. Like that game against Manchester United where they got 2-0 up and United had to make the comebacks and things like that. So I think Crystal Palace, good season. If they keep Roy Hodgson, and I think Roy Hodgson's style suits Crystal Palace because he's adventurous but not too adventurous.
Yeah.
He'll be willing, you know, he's happy to dig deep and play hard. And also we know the resources Crystal Palace have. They could, this could be a push on to them being a regular top 10 club. So I'm pretty happy with their season if I were Palace fan, especially how it ended. Roy Hodgson A+, Crystal Palace B+.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Yeah, B+ for Crystal Palace. As you say, they have ended up very well. So